roughly 100 million Americans, close to one-third of the U.S. population, suffer from some form of chronic pain. And the CDC, that's the Center for Disease Control, recently issued guidelines to severely limit prescriptions for opioid drugs such as OxyContin, Percocet, Vicodin, in response to the national epidemic of prescription drug overdoses. Some states have already instituted strict limits. This means that there are a lot of prescribing doctors and pain sufferers desperate for solutions. What they don't realize is that there is an answer, but it's not in a bottle. The bottom line is that the power to control pain is in the brain. When pain sufferers learn to control their thoughts, emotions, and responses to pain, they can self-manage pain with fewer painkillers. In 2014, over 28,000 Americans died from opioid overdoses. To date, more Americans have died from prescription drug overdoses than died in the entire Vietnam War. This constitutes a national emergency. Chronic pain affects more Americans than heart disease, cancer, and diabetes combined. In addition to it being highly addictive, opioid medications can change the brain and the chemistry of the body in a way that can lead to more pain and more problems. Our guest today is Dr. Beth Darnall. She is a clinical associate professor in the Division of Pain Medicine at Stanford University and treats individuals and groups at the Stanford Pain Management Center. As a pain psychologist, she has 15 years of experience in treating adults with chronic pain and has lived through her own chronic pain experience. Her work empowers individuals to harness the power of their mind-body connection to reduce suffering, pain, and the need for medications. She is the author of the book that we're going to be talking about today, Less Pain, Fewer Pills. Avoid the dangers of prescription opioids and gain control over chronic pain. Beth, it's nice to have you on the program today.
Oh, thank you so much, Lynn. It's really a pleasure to be here.
This is one of the most critical issues that we're facing in this country with respect to addiction. There's about 20-something different types of addictive behaviors that I try to help people with, but opioid addiction probably is right at the top of the list, don't you think?
Yes, I do. The data suggest that is the case indeed. And some of the prescribing trends, these increasing prescribing trends that we've seen over the last decade and a half, have likely contributed to some of these addictions and other problems that we're seeing.
Right. And some of the problem is that patients go to more than one doctor for the same problem and get multiple prescriptions and then either take them or sell them. But one of the problems in long-term opioid medication is that the body gets used to the medication at a certain dose level and then it's not as effective and you have to take more and more. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, most states at this point have prescription drug monitoring programs, which means that doctors and nurses and other prescribers are able to go onto a system and check and see whether a patient is being prescribed medication elsewhere. So it's really a registry of medications dispensed. And so that's a really nice safeguard to prevent against, you know, what we would call some of these addictive behaviors where people might be getting multiple prescriptions from multiple doctors because they either have an underlying addiction or because the medications are being sold. But agree with you, you know, there is the phenomenon of physiological dependence on opioids. And if an individual, any of us, take opioids over a long period of time, the body adapts to the medication. And in most cases, we'll need a larger dose of the medicine in order to achieve pain relief. And so people can begin taking the medication at the same dose, in some cases less about, you know, achieving pain relief, but more about preventing the withdrawal symptoms that would come from stopping the medication. And I want to be really clear that this is not an indication of addiction. This is an indication of physiological dependence that happens in all individuals.
Right. Well, there are several health risks in taking opioid medication over a long period of time. The one that I think of practically every day with news stories like Prince and other celebrities that make the news is death. And that's the most severe one, I guess. What are other problems that you have with opioids?
Yeah, there are many side effects and negative effects that come along with taking opioids long-term for chronic pain. So surprisingly, over the long-term, opioids can actually contribute to the worsening of pain. And this is really counterintuitive because here a person is taking a medication to help their pain, but over time, the medication starts to work less well as that physiological dependence or tolerance to the medication develops. And it also, there's data that shows that it leads to what we call a sensitization in the body. So it makes the body more sensitive to pain. So people may find that all of these new pain problems are cropping up because of the effect of the medication. Now, we don't tend to think of the medication as being, you know, part of the problem or the cause of the problem. So you can see where an individual might have, let's just say, back pain. They're prescribed opioids. They take them for over a long period of time. And then all of these new pain problems start cropping up, and their back pain is worse. And so they start taking higher and higher doses to chase the pain. But in fact, the solution isn't to go up on the medication. In these cases, the solution is actually to stop the medication. But again, it's counterintuitive because we're very conditioned in the United States to think of taking painkillers for pain. But other problems that people maybe don't think about or know about, opioids change hormones in the body. So they lower testosterone. They lower women's sex hormones, you know, estrogen, progesterone. So they can impact fertility in women. They can lead to the low testosterone, can lead to mood changes in men, low libido. They may contribute to feelings of depression. And as you mentioned, overdose is certainly one of the most or the most worrisome risk. Now, I'd like to just point out that most people with chronic pain would not overdose just on opioids alone. It's the combination of opioids with other medications that they're taking that's particularly risky. So, for instance, if an individual is taking a benzodiazepine, like Ativan or Xanax, that in combination with an opioid can be a lethal mix and should be avoided.
And alcohol?
Absolutely. Great point, Wynn. Absolutely. Opioids should never be consumed with alcohol ever because these substances are central nervous system depressants. And you may feel just fine, but when you go to sleep, you won't wake up because what opioids depress the central nervous system. What that means is they slow your breathing. And so when you go to sleep, the central nervous system can almost shut off. So if you're drinking alcohol, you're taking opioids, maybe you also have sleep apnea. That's another risk factor for having respiratory problems. Or maybe you have a chest cold, an upper respiratory infection. All of these are major risks for unintentional overdose. You may be taking your medication exactly as prescribed and be at extreme risk.
Beth, do me a favor. We're getting some wind noise behind you. Can you position yourself a little bit farther away from the telephone?
Yep, I'm going to hold it about 6 inches away.
Okay. Another thing that happens with opioid ingestion over a long period of time is constipation, and that's a symptom that people find very worrisome, too.
It's true, and in fact, constipation can be so severe, and some of these secondary problems can be so severe that they actually eclipse the importance of the original pain problem. They can be that severe. One other thing I'd just like to mention that most people don't realize is that opioids, it's a little seductive because it seems like they make you sleepy, and some people may take them, in particular at night, to help them control pain so they sleep better. But in fact, opioids, chronic use of opioids, disturbs sleep. It changes sleep patterns such that people don't achieve those deep restorative stages of sleep. So what it means is, while you may feel sleepy and you may get to sleep, you sleep very lightly and wake up feeling more tired. And in fact, we know that that's a major risk factor for having more pain the next day. And so this is just another example about how opioids may be taken for pain, but they cause these secondary problems that can actually contribute to worse pain over time.
Now, you said opioid medications work not so well to control chronic pain, but I know that from my own personal experience that taking chronic pain medications is not the problem. It's the fact that people can have pain as a result of the addiction from pain medicine. So it kind of goes back and forth, you know, and so we have to think about that and causes the pain to start off with. Tell us what your opinion is on pain, because, you know, emotional pain is part of that subset, and just like physical pain is.
Absolutely. And, you know, the one thing I'd like to say first is that, you know, for some people, for a subset of individuals, opioids work well for them. Their pain is managed, their function increases, they're not on orbital doses of medication, there are low side effects. And I do think it's important to be mindful that for it is important to maintain some access to these medications for people for whom they work well and they're carefully vetted by experts, and it's clear that they work well. What we know from large-scale population studies, epidemiological studies, is that on the whole, the data suggest that opioids do not work well for the treatment of long-term chronic pain. Now, a caveat there is that we need better data. There's many unknowns in that equation. And so I really feel like the country needs to invest in better researching for whom this treatment may be appropriate and for whom it's not. But the one thing that is crystal clear is that we know that there are certain individuals who are at very high risk for addiction and problems with opioid medication. And this includes individuals who have psychological diagnoses or problems. So that could be an anxiety disorder, depressive disorder, a history of addiction, for instance. And what we know now across multiple studies and multiple different types of research studies is that, in fact, there's very close relationship between physical pain and emotional pain. It's just indisputable. And this whole field of addiction, and in particular, when we look at opioid addiction, prescription opioid addiction, really speaks to this fact. And one of the bases for understanding how this is all related is just taking a look at the definition of pain. What is the definition of pain? We tend to think of pain as just being the hurt or the ouch that we feel in a particular part of our body. That's how we've been taught to think about pain. But in fact, the International Association for the Study of Pain defines pain as being both a negative sensory and emotional experience. It's a negative sensory and emotional experience. So pain is actually defined partially by a psychological experience. So psychology is built into the definition of pain, but it's not recognized as such or treated as such. When someone goes in to their doctor for back pain or a migraine, they're more likely to walk out with a prescription. Nobody looks at that other half of the definition of pain and focuses on that as a frontline treatment. And fundamentally, I mean, I'm a pain psychologist, so I have strong opinions about this, but fundamentally I believe that the way for us to get out of the problem that we're in right now, this over-focus on opioids for treating chronic pain, is to shift our attention and focus on the other half of the definition that has largely been ignored. And we need to invest in treating that, in providing doctors and patients with the resources so that they are empowered to self-manage that.
In my experience, pain is one of the symptoms of addiction. You get rid of the disease of addiction and you get rid of the pain. And I think that that goes a long way toward the psychological or emotional aspect of the pain. We're talking today with Dr. Beth Darnall. Her book is called Less Pain, Fewer Pills: Avoid the Dangers of Prescription Opioids and Gain Control Over Chronic Pain. Beth's book also has a CD in it, talks about enhanced pain management. I'll ask her to describe that and also tell y'all how to get a copy of her book.
Yeah, thank you, Wynn. So the book, the first half of the book is really about opioid education so that people can really understand their specific risks. A big problem in the United States is that people have long thought that if a doctor prescribes a medicine, that's therefore safe. And in fact, there are lots of risks and lots of problems. And so we need to be informed consumers. We need to take control of our own health. So I put forward that information in the book so that people were empowered to make better decisions. The second half of the book is about pain psychology. It's about, okay, well, if I'm going to not focus on opioids and I want to treat my pain differently, how can I use what I know about the definition of pain? Psychology is built into the definition of pain. How can I better treat that half of the definition? And so it's information about pain psychology. It guides individuals, the readers, to apply information so that they develop skills, pain psychology skills, to better control the mind-body connection. So the book comes with a binaural audio CD. It's an enhanced pain management CD. So that's a resource to help individuals essentially train their brain away from pain. So that's a really critical aspect of pain treatment, is learning to train your brain away from pain. Because what happens with pain is fundamentally located in the central nervous system. Even if it feels like it's in your back or it's in your stomach or wherever else in your body you may feel the pain, it's fundamentally a brain-based phenomenon. It's actually your brain and your spinal cord. And so we can apply some pretty basic skills that calm the nervous system. Pain amplifies, it agitates the nervous system, and it contributes to this suffering that we feel around pain. But if we learn skills and use them regularly, calm our nervous system regularly, what happens is that actually dampens pain processing in the brain and in the spinal cord. Science, the data is really clear on this. It's very effective. Calming the nervous system leads to pain relief and relief of suffering. But it's critical that people have these skills and that they use them regularly. So you want to think about it as you're dosing your mind-body medicine. Every day you're dosing it, and that's literally what you're doing.
One of the things that you have in your book talks about tapering off prescription opioids, 7 tips, and I believe that nobody should just drop their pain medication because you can have really bad side effects from that, and you need to talk to your doctor. But why don't you bring us up to speed on some of these 7 tips if you are going to taper off?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, part of my inspiration for writing Less Pain was that I was having so many patients come to me and looking for solutions and answers and wanting a way to taper off the medication, but they had no guidance. And so what I put together were some tried and true tips that worked really well for people. So I've helped scores of individuals taper off opioids. And you know, you always want to talk to your doctor before making any medication change, in particular opioids, because you don't want to be in a situation where you have withdrawal symptoms. That's the first most important thing. A lot of people remain on opioids, not because they're doing such a great job in treating their pain, but because they're deathly afraid of going into withdrawal. And they may have even tried to taper themselves in the past and failed. They felt withdrawal symptoms, and then they falsely believed, well, I can't get off this medication. And the truth is, everyone can if they want to, but there are tricks and tips to help yourself be successful. And the number one first tip is go very, very slow. So you can work with your doctor on this, but many people may have been on opioids for like 5 years. What's the rush in trying to get off them in 3 weeks if you've been on them for 5 years? I tell people, you know, take several months, as many as 6 months, to very, very slowly go down on the medication. So the idea is that if you make very tiny changes, your body has time to adapt and adjust. It never believes that there's anything missing, any medication missing, and so none of those withdrawal symptoms occur. And so you're kept very comfortable and you just go slow. So that's rule number one. Rule number two, or tip number two, is be sure you use your daily skills to calm your nervous system, to keep yourself comfortable, and to help reduce any anxiety or fear that you may have about even tapering medication. A couple other helpful tips. Timing is everything. So this is probably something you talk about in the field of addiction, but you don't want to make big changes or initiate some new program when you know you're just heading into a big stressful time in your life, like maybe the holidays or something like that. So pick a time when you know that you're going to be in relatively stable and stress will be relatively low, and that's a good time to start thinking about a very slow taper. And the last thing two other things I'll say about that. Be sure you make only one change at a time, so don't start tapering off multiple medications. Just one change at a time so that you're sure what's causing what. And the last tip that I give is be sure that you watch your choices. So what I mean by that is you don't want to set yourself up for a taper and then be in the middle of that and then be overdoing it with activity and literally causing some pain flares that would necessitate medication, that would increase your need for more medication. So you want to be sure that you set yourself up for success by avoiding overdoing activity, overdoing anything that you know is going to flare your pain and create something of a crisis where you might need more medication. So be very mindful of that, because that can be a trap that can pull you right back into a higher dose of opioids.
Right, Beth. And if you're on benzodiazepams for anxiety, panic attacks, and this, don't discontinue both of them at the same time, because you may have a seizure and die. We're talking with Beth Darnall today, Less Pain, Fewer Pills. Get a copy of it. It's a great book. And Beth, we have less than a minute now. Tell our audience what your mission or purpose in life is at this point.
Yeah, my mission and purpose is to inform everyone that they do have control over their experience. You do have control over pain and over suffering. It all depends on learning the right information and the right skills. We are born knowing how to get away from pain. We're not born knowing how to calm our nervous system and help ourselves feel better, to have less pain. You can learn how to do this, and you can learn how to do it without pills.
Thank you so much for being on the program today, Beth. You've given us a lot of information, and if you miss this program, or even if you have and you want your relatives to hear it, it'll be available on iTunes podcast section under Freedom from Addiction anytime. Just go over there and get that. So once again, Beth, thanks so very much.
Wynn, thank you so much. It was an honor and a pleasure.